Hi, how's everybody? Now, I have a slight problem. If I speak in America, they say, where you're from. If I come to New Zealand, they say,
where you're from.
Where you're from, or is it okay? You can hear me? All right. I'm not sure whether you need this or not, anyway.
Yes, you do.
You need me?
Yeah, because the hearing's about as good as yours.
So what we want to do this morning is that just for a few moments, talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's prayer life. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's prayer life. To do so, we lay a foundation or we establish two fundamental biblical truths that we all know, but we just mention them for understanding. The Holy Spirit, we believe, speaks.
Amen.
Number two, we believe, besides speaking, the Holy Spirit gives revelation. Another two fundamental truths. Now, the passage that speaks of revelation that we're going to briefly look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. It starts with the negative, then to the positive. So I'm sure you know these verses. This is what verse 9 says. Eye has not seen. Ear nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. What this verse is saying is that though we are believers, there are some things we can't understand or perceive with perception or conception. The hidden. Especially the things that God has prepared for us who love him. We can't grab hold of it. It's like where, do you understand the word cul-de-sac? I'm never sure what language to speak, you know. So a cul-de-sac, it's like a cul-de-sac. There's no end that we can't get out. It's a dead end. However, the next verse breaks the bottleneck. I always like it when the verse starts with the word but. Yeah. But. So verse 10 says, so verse 9 was, you can't know. Then verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. All of us sitting here, God is revealing the things that he has stored up for you who love him through the Holy Spirit. Powerful verse. That especially the things that he's prepared for each one of us ahead of time. The good things. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants to emphasize that truth. That it's the Holy Spirit gives revelation so we know the things that God has for us. So in verse 12, he reiterates it. And he says, now we have received. And then he puts in a negative, not the spirit of the world. So we can put that aside and say, now we have received the Spirit from God. Or the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that he has prepared for us. So why have we received the Spirit? That we might know the things freely given to us by God. So what is these verses saying is that God, in his goodness, has a whole lot of stuff in store, and we are here on earth, and what he has for us will come through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have to plug in and learn to listen to how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So, the purpose of why you and I receive the Holy Spirit in these verses specifically is so you understand the revelation of God to your heart. The second verse that I want to share with you is Jeremiah. I don't know why I'm holding my glasses. Do you want to know why I'm holding my glasses? Did anybody wonder why I'm holding my glasses? So I'll put them down so I don't need to hold my glasses. The other verse that that speaks of this revelation is Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer, and show you great and mighty things
which thou knowest
that you do not know." You know this stuff. You've been around a while. Yeah. So what is interesting and what grabs me in that verse is this. It is enough to use the words "call and I will answer." That's the whole cycle of prayer. I call, God answers, yes. That's prayer is finished. However, Jeremiah 33 adds, "and I will show you," or another translation, "I will tell you things, great and mighty things, that you do not know." So again, it links with 1 Corinthians. There are things we do not know that are hidden, that are isolated, that are inaccessible, that will be revealed to us while in prayer. Now, the key word in that verse is the word "mighty." Because in the Hebrew, that word "mighty," like translated "mighty," actually means isolated. The things that are inaccessible, the things that are hidden. So what that verse is telling you and I, you people of prayer, you pray, you're praying to God, you're seeking God's will. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation to make your prayer not only directive and effective, but effective and directive. You get to what God wants you to get to in your prayer. Mm-hmm. Finally, a quote. So there's a guy in the United States called Sean Bowles, and he wrote a book, Translating God. And he says this, "The goal of revelation is so simple. See what God sees. Hear what God hears. And speak what God speaks so we all can love the way God loves. Revelation is given to us so that we can carry a small part of heaven to earth through revelation." So when we go into prayer, what Mars and I are doing in our ministry in the United States is teaching people to be quiet and to listen to what the Holy Spirit. We start with what we know, but we don't end there. Because the Holy Spirit gives us a whole lot of revelation of the things that are hidden, isolated and separate from our understanding, that gives us more power in the purpose of our praying. Amen. And Marcia is going to come and give some illustrations of how we've seen that manifested in our ministry in the States.
Robin and I have been given the lovely responsibility of being the pastoral care couple for the international workers in Spain for the Christian and Missionary Alliance mission. What that means primarily is that once a year we travel to Spain to hold a spiritual renewal retreat for the workers. When we do that, we know that they do not need a lot of teaching of the word. What they need is having an opportunity to share where they are in life and in their spiritual journey. And so we give a lot of time to hear their stories. Where are their joys and where are their sorrows? And I want to speak to you about one particular segment of our time there last year. When we opened up the time of sharing, there was an individual, a man by the name of Peter, and he would probably be in his early 50s. And he came forward and he didn't share a joy, he shared a deep struggle that he was having. And what he said to us, he said, I am really struggling with anger. And it's anger that is greater than the situation warrants it. He said, I'm not necessarily angry at my wife and at my family, but I just get angry over things. For instance, I could be going to a meeting and on my way, I keep hitting stop signs, stop lights. And he says, by the time I've hit the third stop sign, I am so angry that I am beside myself. And so he says, I'm struggling with the whole matter of anger. So we said, okay. So we always put a chair in the middle of the room so that he could sit down and anybody who wanted to could gather round about him. We encourage our people that when they want to pray, we really want them to use the giftings that God has given to them in prayer. And so we're open for visions, for pictures, for scripture, for an impression, for a word. All of those kind of things can be employed as we pray for an individual. So we had a good season of prayer around this person. Both Robin and I were feeling within ourselves that we really weren't hitting the core of the problem. But there came a time when the praying faded away, and so we just closed the prayer time, and he went back to his seat. And Robin and I were sort of disconcerted within ourselves. It's like, what's going on here? The next morning we had communion. And while we were in the process of communion, the field leader's wife looked across the room and she saw Peter. And she had a word. She just had a word. So she comes to us with the word and we say, go to Peter. Mm-hmm. So she goes to Peter and she says, Peter, I have the word failure. And the minute she said that word, Peter breaks down and begins to weep. The Holy Spirit articulated where he was struggling, where he was deeply wounded, and it ministered to him and it broke the bottleneck for him. Let me bring you another example. In our church, we are teaching people who are interested how to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so we hold a course that's 8 weeks long over a period of 4 months. And in that course, it's a 2-hour course. We have an hour of teaching so that we give biblical base to what we're doing. And then we have an hour of modeling. We break up in small groups. I lead one, Robin leads one, and another woman leads one. And in our small groups, we give time to hear where people are struggling and we give time to prayer. We primarily have a period of just quietness before the Lord. We're just going to be quiet in order to still our minds and still our hearts so that we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. In the second session in my group that we had, I had asked, does anybody have something that they want us to pray around? And then there was silence and nobody said a word. So I said, okay, we're going to enter into a time of just quietness to hear the Holy Spirit and then I want you to share. And so that is what happened. There was just a period of quietness. And then one after another in the small group began to say what they were hearing. I'm sitting discerning and perceiving. And it just seems like everything is random. What is being said, everything is random. And I'm trying to say, Lord, where's the connecting string here? Where's the connection from one to another? And I didn't have it. And then a man in the group said, I think all of these words are for me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. And then he begins to explain where he is. He said, I feel...
Just tilt your mic a wee bit. We lost one of the two important words.
All right, thank you. He said, I feel that I'm very disconnected from this church. And he's been in this church for probably 25, 30 years. And he said, I feel very disconnected in this church. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, because I don't have anything to do. And he's a very talented and gifted individual. And so as we began to open up conversation around that, it became very clear that, well, I had asked him, why is it important for you to have something to do? And he said, well, because it gives me value. And I said, oh. So you're finding your value in work? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, is that where you find your value, in what you do for God? Or do you find your value in the fact that God values you? God says you are important. God says you have an identity. And that was the start of him beginning a journey. Mm. Well, what I want to say to you is this. The second person who gave the word was a woman who would probably be in her mid to late 70s, a very timid individual, an individual who hardly ever speaks up. And the word that God, the Holy Spirit, had given to her was the word rest. And she rooted it, anchored it, in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And that those verses say this, come unto me, all you who labor. And that's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to labor. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so God was penetrating into this man who was so, he was looking for something to do, and he was beginning to look for something to do outside the church. And God was beginning to minister into his innermost being of where he was really struggling. And where he was really struggling was that he had a wrong base for worth. He had a wrong base for worth. Now I want to tell you one more story. Robin and I head up the pre-service prayer meeting on Sunday morning. And we do the same thing there. We say, we're going to hear the Holy Spirit, we're going to listen to him, and we're not just going to pray about the normal things that you pray for in a pre-service prayer meeting. And so in this one particular time, we were quiet, and there was a woman who said, I'm seeing light, glorious light, so bright that you can't even look into it. And then another woman says, I see an angel. And the angel is in the far corner of the sanctuary. And it's like this angel is guarding the church. I'm not sure if I remember, but it seems like she said, the angel has a sword in his hands. So those two visions caused us to enter into warfare prayer in that pre-service prayer meeting. What we did not know is that in that service, something was going to happen that had never happened before in that church. And that is, we were going to have somebody who came in with demonic spirits that had to be addressed. the person who spoke in that service was a missionary from Japan, from Spain. They were in transition, and they spoke the word for that Sunday morning. After the end of the service, the pastor got up and said, Raymond and Mary, I want us to pray for you because you are in transition. They were retiring from the field, and they had to find a place to live, and they had to find a ministry. What did God have for them? So the pastor said, I want us to pray for you. And so he called them up, and then he said to the congregation, anybody who wants to gather around and pray for Raymond and Mary, I invite you to do so. And so various ones from the congregation came up to gather around Raymond and Mary. There was a lady who also came up. She was a visitor. She had never been to our church before. And I noticed that in the prayer time, not the prayer time, but in the praise and worship time, she was over on the other side of the room, and she was very, very demonstrative. And I thought, that's interesting. Is she a Pentecostal believer? You know, is she bringing that flavor into our congregation? And so she came forward together with the rest of the people. But she turned her back to the pastor, turned to the congregation, and began to converse with the congregation. She was usurping the authority of the pastor. And so he leaned over and he says, excuse me, but the service is not ended. We're here to pray for this individual. And she kept talking, and it kept becoming very demonstrative. And he said, I'd like to have you go sit down while we pray, and then I will talk with you afterwards. And she paid no attention to him at all. The pastor, who was very low-key, who was not confrontational, who will not be in your face, he's very gentle, he stepped towards her to take leadership. And as he did, he put his hand out like this, and she slapped it. And then she became very vocal and very demonstrative and very rebellious and very confrontive. And we recognize we're dealing with a demonic spirit. Then she began to manifest. She began to shake. She fell to the floor on her face, and then she went on her back. And the pastor, the pastor does not do this. He took spiritual authority, and the rest of us who were there praying spoke with that spiritual authority as well, and we began to address the demonic spirits that were in that individual. At the end of the day, those spirits were broken, they were cast out, and she became very, very quiet and very peaceful until there were some ladies that could lift her up and take her back to have further ministry with her. She came back to the church the next week and for several weeks after that, and her whole countenance had changed. She was a gentle, sweet, peaceful individual. That prayer time prepared us for something that was going to happen that had never happened before. And so it is a matter of listening for what the Holy Spirit is wanting to say and do so that we can flow with Him in that work. So it's extremely important to learn how to develop the skill of listening to the Holy Spirit. Now what we're going to do is we're going to do the same thing right now. Okay? Normally we would break up in small groups, but we're not going to do that this morning because it's just too difficult to do that. But what I would like us to do is I would like us to just spend time in quietness. Just quiet and listen. The Holy Spirit will speak. He will give you maybe a picture, a scripture, a word, an impression. Just plug in to hear the Holy Spirit. And then I will to a place of being able to share what the Holy Spirit has been saying to you. Okay? So let's be quiet and let's listen.